Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to Big at Night, hour number two. Jay Binkley with you and Chris Unocero producing the operation. Craig Stout joins us in 15 minutes. Pete Sweeney, in about 30 minutes, will join us. Chris, I mentioned this. Sporting news has been all crazy. It's the content time. It's the content time for what you want to do. 610sports.com. You can go there and see Steven Sirtis. 32 best quarterbacks for fantasy options.
Yeah, this is the time of the year where you see lists. This is the time of the year.
I love them.
This is the time where you see Mount Rushmore topics.
That's right.
There's not a whole lot on the sports calendar besides baseball and the NBA playoffs, and we can't really talk it because we don't have an NBA team here. Yeah, well, we could talk about all those amazing. I looked it up during the break, and I think I remember this story now. Mickey Cabrera created a website. He dropped 10 stacks on this website.
And the union dropped the grievance.
Yeah, just so that he could create a fake source for this banned substance that he was taking so that he could get off on the suspension.
It was creative.
It sounds like something that would be on like a sitcom, not something that you would see happen in real life. Like,
I still laugh at that every time I see it.
Yeah, it literally sounds like if you had like a sports, like a baseball themed sitcom and somebody got popped for it, that sounds like a plot line for like a baseball themed sitcom. You could still, if you're a writer, you could steal my idea.
Well, Sporting News put out, of course, it's Patrick Mahomes, number one. The reigning league MVP is seeing some personnel change around him, but his play last season proved how much he can elevate his backs, receivers, and tight ends. Mahomes has raised the standard for all young guns coming into the league. And I'm with you on that. Everybody's looking for the next Mahomes. Everybody is searching for the next Mahomes. Now, Denver did not think Drew Lock could be the next Mahomes, even though there was an article that came out on NFL.com during the season. Could Drew Lock be the next Patrick Mahomes with his arm strength? Clearly, Kyler Murray, they're hoping to get some of that out of him. I asked Therese Paylor how you Mahomes-proofed this division when he came in here and we did a draft special, and he thought quarterback play. But it's easier said than done. Like, to me, Mahomes-proofing this division is getting pass rush and secondary. That is my best way to do it. Aaron Rodgers now number two, Tom Brady number three, Drew Brees number four, Russell Wilson number five, Andrew Luck, number six. Phillip Rivers, number seven. I still think he's the best quarterback not to have won one. Matt Ryan at number eight. Did you ever think we'd see a time and day? I mean, we sat here talking about the 2012 season. Do we ever sit here with time and day thinking we'd have an MVP at quarterback, over 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, 23 years old, MVP, and when the list comes out, he's listed ahead of Tom Brady, the GOAT, and Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback in the NFL. Isn't that funny how we got here? Because I remember posing the question after 2 weeks of the season last year. Would you trade Mahomes for any quarterback in this league? And the resounding no.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people felt that way especially after the Steelers game where he threw those six touchdowns.
Can you imagine the temptation not to play him in 17? Seeing that every day in practice?
Andy had to try so hard. But I think part of it, the thing that probably helped Andy was the fact that he would have had to break the news to Alex that Alex wasn't going to start. And I mean, look, Andy put a lot of stock in Alex.
It's business, not friends.
Yeah, but he still is a guy about his players. He's a player's coach.
Oh, no question. So he's a Bob Sutton guy, too. You know?
Yeah, and like Alex looks like the kind of guy that if you like, you know, give him some bad news, he give you the puppy dog eyes. And he starts, you know, he gives you them little sad, watery eyes, and you start feeling sorry for him. And I think Andy is one of those guys that he just, if he doesn't have to, he doesn't want to deliver a bad news like that. So I think one of the things that helped him was the fact that Alex probably would not have taken that news very well and would have moped around the Chiefs facility. So he was like, okay, we can hold off on Mahomes. It's not like Alex was a bad quarterback. He just, you know, you're not going to win a Super Bowl with him. And on top of that, I think part of it was the Chiefs kind of convinced themselves that he wasn't ready at that time.
But here's the point, though. Remember they started off that season 5-0. Life is good. You beat the Patriots 42-27. You start 5-0. Then they lost 6 of 7. They had to win.
It was hard then.
I mean, when you lose 6 of 7, remember that's when Matt Nagy took over the play calling and everything?
Yeah.
And I mean, there was just bad, bad stuff happening to this team, including that Jets game.
That Giants game.
And that Jets game, honestly, was one of the worst games I'd ever seen by the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not kidding. Defensively, there were several moments I would have fired Bob Sutton. It would have been that when the Jets had 488 total yards. But not only that, the time of possession of that game, I still remember this day. So they did the post game. Jets had it 42 minutes and 49 seconds. The Chiefs had it all of 17 minutes and 11 seconds. That, to me, I would have fired him after that Colts meltdown. I would have definitely fired him after that Jets game, too. And then he comes back the next year. He comes back for 2018 when you had that quarterback at your practice every day.
The most egregious thing was that Giants game. Because that was the game that just showed me right there that this, like, a lot of people were getting hype about Alex Smith after the first five games. Oh, he's an MVP candidate and whatnot. And I was like,
oh, I remember. There was some of my quotes that ended up in an article on Klimko's, the article on SI.com. Because I wasn't wild about Alex Smith.
Uh-huh,
and what it was is like, he told you so. It was one of those articles.
Oh,
like,
all
the people said bad things about Alex Smith. Uh-huh. I ended up in there somehow. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, get the full
you
quote
got your,
here.
You got your name attached to that.
Well, who's right now? write the rebuttal.
Yeah, and I said this. I was saying this. I was like, okay, that's cool. He was great for five games. He's got to do it an entire season. And that's not something that Alex Smith is known for. And then obviously right after that, he just fell off the face of the earth. And after that Giants game, if they would have replaced him with Patrick Mahomes, I think everybody would have celebrated. Because to me, that was one of the most embarrassing games I've ever seen Alex Smith play quarterback in. Because he looked like when they had Brady Quinn as their starting quarterback.
But that was real windy.
Back in
remember 2012. That game? It was real windy.
No, that doesn't mean a damn thing.
Eli outplayed him.
Eli Manning outplayed him. Eli Manning should have lost his job like 4 years ago. But
he's a Hall of Famer, by the way.
No, he's not. He's not getting to Hall of Fame.
Are you kidding
me? He can't even make the playoffs. He's not Hall of Fame.
But he's won two rings.
That doesn't mean a damn thing.
Not only that, he's beaten the Patriots
twice.
He's
got one more ring than Trent Dilfer. Trent Dilfer ain't going to the Hall of Fame.
You don't think Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer?
I think they'll put him in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
Two rings. And not only that, but you beat the Patriots twice.
Doesn't mean anything to me.
You know he's seventh all-time in passing yards.
He won those Super Bowls because of his pass rush.
He's seventh all-time in passing yards.
He won those Super Bowls because of his pass rush. I don't care what his all-time passing numbers are. He didn't win.
He's eighth all-time in touchdown passes.
That doesn't mean anything. He doesn't win.
He's got the stats and the rings to back
it
up.
Anything.
He might be trash now, but he wasn't
trash then. He's been trash for a long time.
Eli was clutch. Eli was good. We forget he was terrible now, but he was
good.
Those
two playoff runs.
He's eight. He's only three behind Big Ben.
No. He's going to get in because of he beat the Patriots 2 years in a row. He's to me, he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. Not at all. Not when you look at him.
He's sixth all time in passes completed. Seventh in yardage.
Anything.
Eighth in touchdowns.
Passes completed don't mean anything anyways because you can just throw screen passes.
Patriots. You have got to be either smoking something before the show or during the show.
I wish I did, but no. No, he's not a Hall of Famer to me.
Are you kidding
me? Not when you don't make the playoffs most of the time you've been in the NFL. When you don't make the playoffs most of the time.
He beat the two GOATs twice in the Super Bowl.
That doesn't mean a damn thing.
Yes, it does.
No,
he beat Belichick and Brady.
It doesn't mean a damn thing.
Oh, come on, man.
It doesn't mean a damn thing now. No, not when you can't even make the playoffs now. You had Saquon Barkley and OBJ on your team last year, couldn't make the playoffs.
Dude's a Hall of
bleep
Famer,
out of
man.
Here. No.
Dude is a Hall
He's
of Famer.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer, I think.
Yes,
but
first ballot.
He doesn't deserve, no, first ballot, my ass.
Peyton
no.
can introduce him and Archie. I don't know. They first bite ballot, for that my one.
Ass. No, he can't. He cannot get his team to the playoffs. No. His pass rush is the reason why he beat the Patriots two times.
He was good in the postseason, though, going to Green Bay.
He wasn't good
when
in
so
them
cold.
Super Bowls. It was them pass rushers that got him to the Super Bowl. He wasn't good in that game against the Giants. I mean, not against the Giants, but against the Niners.
We're actually debating this.
Yeah. Well, you started it.
No, you started it.
You started it. He's not. In my personal Hall of Fame, he ain't in there.
18 touchdowns, 9 interceptions in the postseason. It's not bad.
Yeah, he doesn't have a whole lot of postseason games.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 postseason games and 2 Super Bowl rings.
And how many years?
He's been in the playoffs in 05, 06, 07, 08, 11, and 16.
So in the last decade, he's been in the playoffs how many times?
You need more than that.
How many times has he been to the playoffs in the last
against
decade?
Against San Francisco, he had 316.
How many times has he been to the playoffs in the last
2011
decade?
Listen to these numbers. The 2011 season, postseason, 277 yards and 3 touchdowns, 330 yards and 3 touchdowns, 316 yards and 2 touchdowns. Then against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, he went for 75% completion. Well, what was 296 his, what yards, a touchdown, no picks. He threw for 296 yards against the Belichick defense and a touchdown.
That Belichick defense was garbage, actually, that year. They were
in the Super Bowl.
They were trash.
They had Tom Brady.
They were trash.
He beat the undefeated New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. They could have been there with the Dolphins and having the champagne, you know, after.
Yeah.
You know, they would have shut those guys up.
How many times has he made the playoffs in the last decade?
All right. Once.
Thank you.
No, twice.
Twice. So, two times. Hall of Fame hadn't been in the playoffs only two times.
Man. He's not good now. I gotta give you
that. He's batting 200 in the last decade. Like, if he had retired after the 2011 season, you can make that case. He hasn't. He's still playing. He's still played the other, what is it, 8 years since that 2011 Super Bowl?
You know how many times he's thrown for over 4,000 yards? 7 times.
That doesn't mean anything.
Last year, 4,299 yards, 21 touchdowns, 11 picks.
What was their record last year?
Wasn't good.
Thank you.
5-11.
Thank you.
He's 116 and 114 as a quarterback.
Doesn't mean anything.
No, it's not very good. But he's got two rings.
It doesn't mean anything. You could get hot at the right time. And you know what his
career?
Yourself.
You know what his career in the postseason is? 8-4. 8-4 in two rings.
That's cool. He hasn't been to the playoffs
Hall
very
of fame worthy.
That's not to me.
All right, let's move on from quarterbacks. Coaches.
We just spent like 7 minutes arguing.
I know.
Arguing. I like a good
debate. I like a good debate. I know. I can't believe we're arguing Eli Manning.
It's in Kansas City, we're arguing Eli Manning Hall of Fame.
But, you know, anyway, we'll put Mahomes in there anyway. All right. Sharks and Blues, game 6 from St. Louis in the Stanley Cup Finals. Bruins already in. We'll keep our eye on this one, too. Number one, Coach Belichick. No question. Sean McVay's number two. No. Number three, Sean Payton. Number four, Andy Reid. Do you think McVay's already the second best coach in the NFL?
No.
You know what? You know my problem with Sean McVay was? It was what he said to Bill Belichick, like kissing his butt before the Super Bowl. He was out there, Chris, in NFL films, you know, filmed it all, and you're the greatest of all time. I would have thrown the money, everything I had, on the Patriots winning that after McVay did that.
Why?
Because he gave up before the game.
Just because you say nice things about your opponent doesn't mean you give up.
Oh, this was terrible.
That is not the same thing, no. Like, just because you say nice things about your opponent, it's not giving up. Like,
listen to this. This is before the Super Bowl, right? NFL
okay.
Films.
Okay.
Listen to this. It was on Showtime. You tell me this isn't kissing ass.
Trying to look for you. Like, yes, you know, man, so much respect for you.
Likewise. You're the best. You've done a great job.
Yeah, so, hey, you always do, though. Yeah. Been doing it, you know, you're the best, man. So.
You're taking over, buddy.
No. Hey. Yeah. The way that you guys are able to shift your identity and really still be able to figure it out, I mean, week in and week out, it's unbelievable, man. Really, so much respect for you and the way you do it, man. You're what's right about coaching.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, coach.
I mean, smooch. You do this after the game, not before the game. Not only that, Belichick started texting him earlier in the season, like, great game. And McVay's probably telling him everything they're doing. Oh, hey, thanks
no,
for texting
not.
Me, Bill.
Thanks no, he's not.
Like, he's saying, all right,
McVay is an NFL head coach. He ain't that stupid.
Sean Payton's not smart enough to text him back. But McVay's like, oh, my God, the greatest of all times. Text me. Hey, wait, here's what we're doing, Bill.
No, he's not. He's not. He didn't send his playbook over in PDF format.
I digress.
I think you're jumping to conclusions here.
Craig Stout, arrowheadpride.com. What should the Chiefs do? Should they get Gerald McCoy? We discussed that. By the way, St. Louis Blues just scored a goal up 1-0 on the Sharks. Can they get this Stanley Cup for the first time? Hey, stop it. Craig Stout next.
Big at Night.
Welcome back to Big at Night. Christian Ocero producing. I'm Jay Binkley. A lot of fun in that segment. Debating the merits of Eli Manning. Can't believe we went there.
We literally spent almost 10 minutes arguing Eli Manning's Hall of Fame credentials.
Well, when you and I get together, we argue, and that's something that we like to do. We'll bring on Craig Stout now from arrowheadpride.com at Barleyhop on Twitter. Craig, you doing all right with all the storms down there?
Yeah, we're doing all right now. We're just, you know, up to our ears in rain because it's never going to stop raining ever again, apparently.
Never going to stop raining. Hey, did you happen to catch those photos of Breland Speaks?
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you what. There's
large
only one
and in charge.
For that. They're woken him up to play inside.
All right.
There's no way that they have allowed him to balloon up like that in this offseason. No way.
Well, I mean, maybe photos can – I don't know how that got out, to be honest with you. I don't know how that got out. Unless the Chiefs are trying to shame him into a way, but that's not the way to do it. But you think, honestly, they're fattening him up to put him inside? Because you know how photos can be. You know, nobody likes their photos, Craig. Sometimes you look fat in photos.
Yeah, for sure. I have bad photos every photo that I take. I mean, that's the way it works. But now, Breland speaks. If you look at that lineup, you got Alex Okafor standing right behind him. And Alex Okafor looks significantly lighter. You've got Derek Nnadi standing a couple guys away from him. He's much closer to Derek Nnadi's build than he is to Alex Okafor's build. And supposedly he's playing the same spot as Okafor. I don't know. To me, it just kind of looks a little bit like they're bulking him up, maybe try and get that kind of carry win type that Steve Spagnuolo has used to kind of play inside and rush the passer inside and be able to set the edge as a run defender on the outside.
I hope you're right. It's not one of those things where you see the Chiefs signing all these players and eating their cheeseburger. Oh, my God. Frank Clark, too. He's another cheeseburger. I hope that's not the case. What are you doing on the defensive line now? Because I don't think we spent enough time on that. You got three right defensive ends is what you have at this point. So somebody's got to go to the left.
Yeah, you do. You really do. And I think that it's going to be an open competition between Okafor and Ogba. I know that they've got Okafor under contract for a couple years here. I think that Ogba can do it. I think he can rush off of that side. And, you know, here's the other part. Steve Spagnuolo isn't just lining them up out wide all the time on that left defensive end spot. He moves those guys around. Some of those guys are going to play as far in as, like, four tech. Emmanuel Ogba might actually move into three tech on some passing downs. So I think that they're just going to kind of mix and match. It's going to come down to whoever can turn right best.
What would you say, when you look at this defense as a whole, is defensive line now the strength?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that it's I got ready to say that. Safety is right up there now.
Okay.
This is a luxury that the Chiefs all of a sudden have after some pretty horrid safety play last year. I think the defensive line is good at starter and good at depth, and I think they've got some really nice young pieces, depth pieces, and I do think that it's a major strength, but safety is competing there between Juan Thornhill, Honey Badger, you've got Jordan Lucas, Dan Swanson still on this roster. You know, he's a great fourth safety, regardless of what you want to say about his contract. He would be an ideal fourth safety.
Do you think, though, or would they stop you there, Craig? Do you think he becomes a cut casualty, though, with that money, cap casualty?
I think he can. I think if they've got ideas on that money or if they want to roll some more over, he is the most logical cut, I think, on this roster because he also saved the most out of anybody else that they could logically cut.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I love these reports I'm hearing. Gary Johnson, the undrafted linebacker that's here, talk about the attitude, the intensity of the defensive staff. I think a lot of people are talking about the offense still and worried about Tyreek Hill, how many games he's going to miss. But, Craig, you watched and charted every single defensive snap of this team. Are you sitting here? Because you might have a good year this year. You might have fun with this defense for once, to be honest with you. Because I think they can close the gap from the offense, missing a few pieces. I think this defense can and will close that gap.
I will say this. If they can get their hands on a cornerback, whether that be Xavier Rhodes after that June 1st date, where even more money, if that's somebody in a cut, that just a surprise cut that can come in and just be an upgrade in that cornerback room, I think that the Chiefs are a top 15, pushing up towards a top 10 defense with the additions that they've made both in scheme, coaching, and in personnel. I think this is a potentially really, really fun year. Steve Spagnuolo is going to get to play with a lead for most of the year. Yeah. I mean, Pat Mahomes is going to come out and score points early. We saw it. They're going to put it on team, and Steve Spagnuolo is going to get to blitz and blitz and blitz and not have to worry about the effects as much. I think that they have the chance to be a really, really elite defense.
Talk to Craig Stout, arrowheadpride.com. Follow him on Twitter, @BarleyHop. All right, in your opinion, what's been the biggest move for the Chiefs defense this year? Is it Spagnuolo and his staff, because I think we had to include them all? Is it the addition of the Honey Badger, or is it the addition of Frank Clark? What is going to make the single biggest difference for the Chiefs defense?
Oh, my goodness. That's an awesome question. That is an excellent, excellent question. I think it's scheme. I do think it's scheme because I think that it's going to to just improve so much. I think it's going to be complementary football to the offense. I do think that Frank Clark and Honey Badger are required to run this scheme. So I will hear, you know, arguments for that all day long. But for me, I'm going scheme because I think it's going to be such a significant difference over what we saw in previous years, over what we saw last year when they were just inches away from going to the Super Bowl.
I think we worry too much about Sam and Will, and we worry too much about the base. I just don't see us in the base that often. I see us a lot in the nickel. I see the Honey Badger creeping up there into the linebacker position, or Dirty Dan, like you said, although I think it could be a cap casualty here. Thornhill, we know he can cover in the slot, can cover tight ends. I don't know how much we're actually going to see an actual 4-3.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, most of the time, and I think people kind of get so wrapped up, like you said, so wrapped up in the base defense. You see the base defense when the offense has two running backs, or when the offense has two tight ends on the field, or a combination of those two things. That's when you start to see, you know, the base defense on the field with all of these guys. That's about 20 to 25%, and it's dropping. Pro Football Focus published the numbers over the past 3 years, and it's just consistently going down. The Rams last year made it to the Super Bowl, and they were in, 11 personnel, that's three wide receivers, almost 95% of the time. So that means if you're playing against the Rams, you weren't in your base defense. And that's what teams are starting to evolve to, but moving to more of a spread offense attack with more receivers, less running backs and tight ends on the field, less power football. And because of that, you're seeing a lot more nickel and dime defense. That's what we're going to see this year.
We're getting smaller, too, aren't we? We're getting smaller. Absolutely. We're getting smaller and faster with our defenses.
Darren Lee and Dorian O'Daniel on the field together and some passing downs, that's going to be some serious speed on the field.
Well, we're certainly getting this point. Do you like Darren Lee?
I do like Darren Lee. I like Darren Lee a lot. I have a feeling that he is going to have probably his best year. It's a contract year. It stays undefeated. And he's got to keep himself clean because he can't get suspended again. He's playing for a payday, and the Chiefs are going to try and reap that benefit.
All right, Craig, in this argument for us, Chris and I got into a huge argument earlier. I said Eli Manning, surefire, easy Hall of Famer, despite how he's playing now.
He's that first ballot Hall of Famer, too.
Oh, you're saying he is first ballot now?
You said that.
I said
that.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Craig, what do you think?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to say first ballot, but I do think he'll get in. Because the NFL puts so much value on rings, and they're going to keep coming back to that elite championship game against the Patriots. You know, the undefeated Patriots, they're the ones that stopped them. Eli was in there. I think Phillip Rivers is a better quarterback, but I think that Eli Manning has a better Hall of Fame resume, if that makes sense.
Wasn't that interesting? Because remember the draft that year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Phillip Rivers would be better if he was in New York.
I think he's the best quarterback not to win a ring. I will say that.
Dan Marino?
Yeah. No, Rivers.
Dan Marino.
No, I mean currently playing.
Oh, yeah, currently playing, okay.
I'll take Dan Marino in that situation. But, I think a lot of times Phillip Rivers had the talent around him. Everybody's always getting hurt. You know what I'm saying?
He's been the only constant in that, and I'll tell you what. He, at this age, is still shot putting the ball around the field and hitting receivers in stride. I'll tell you what, I put away my Phillip Rivers hate a long time ago. I still want to see him lose. I still love seeing him lose. But I tell you what, that guy can play football.
Would Phillip Rivers have rings if he would have stayed with the Giants and they wouldn't have traded the Chargers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think they would. I think they would have.
And the Chargers would be clown show at this point. Craig, always good talking to you. Craig Stout, arrowheadpride.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Barley Hop. All right? Thanks, Craig. You're the best, man.
All right. Thanks, sir.
There you go right there. He makes good beer, too. I've had a couple of his beers. He brought them up when he came up for the draft special we had. Me, him, and Ken Swanson. And Pete was part of that. And Showman Vern down in Asheville.
You guys get drunk? Time. You guys get drunk on the air?
We did not. We did not on the air. Off the air.
Off the air. As soon as the show ended.
Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com, sits in right in the studio next. And you know the sparks are going to fly, especially setting this guy straight behind the glass. Pete
Sweeney. Bye.
Bing at night.
Hardee's used to think bowls were useless dishware. Then we created the new loaded hash round bowl. Crispy potatoes, fluffy eggs, sausage gravy, melted cheddar, and crumbled bacon. Now part of our 2 for $4 mix and match deal. No longer are bowls just college football games you can nap to. Now they're loaded with Hardee's delicious breakfast favorites. And in our 2 for $4 mix and match, try a bowl today. They're actually really useful. Hardee's because it tastes better.
Available for a limited time during regular breakfast hours at participating restaurants. Tax not included. Price and participation may vary.
Green Valley, the gateway to Kansas City. Here's Mayor Mike Todd on what citizens value the most by living in Green Valley.
I think number one, a lot of them that come there because of the school district. Number two is our proximity to Kansas City. You know, 23-minute commute to downtown. And I think a lot of people come to Green Valley looking for the small town feel, but still being able to have the amenities like grocery stores and such close by.
Learn more about the green opportunities in Green Valley by visiting our website at cityofgreenvalley.org. Or visit us on Facebook, Green Valley, the gateway to Kansas City.
Royals baseball all season long, exclusively on 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Bank at Night. Hour and a half left of the show remaining. Royals rained out tonight in St. Louis. They've got some bad weather. They got a lot of the stuff that was down in Oklahoma, passed through Kansas City. There were some tornado warnings out earlier at what, Atchison County and near Topeka.
Yeah, not far from here. But. Yeah, it's approaching the Wichita. So.
Okay, well, it's our.
They should definitely be in cover if you've got the sirens going off.
Tornado warning in Atchison County, Kansas. Again, this is our listeners' area. I'm sure, there's somebody right now in Atchison listening to the show.
Scary.
So stay safe out there. But Kevin McCarthy gets the call up from the Royals, not Bubba Starling. He's not getting the call. The Royals doubleheader tomorrow, 12:15 and 6:45. Brad Keller in game one, Homer Bailey in game two. Chris Nocero producing the operation. Pete Sweeney sits in here now with us from arrowheadpride.com. My good friend Pete. Pete, fill me in on Kendall Fuller's Twitter account.
All right. So the breaking news right now in the Chiefs kingdom, as the organization likes us to call it. Kendall Fuller just tweeted out earlier, I think it was less than an hour ago, just watched the film, bro. I said, chill with the no-look passes, Patrick Mahomes. It's the first week, bro. Save that for training camp. So it's the first day of OTAs. No media is allowed until Thursday. I'll be once a week for the next 3 weeks. But we are getting little updates coming out of Chiefs camp. And apparently, Pat Mahomes, day one of offense versus defense, already breaking out the no-looks, which is probably music to the ears of Chiefs fans.
That is. And one thing Chris and I were talking about, and I know it's going to be debated, you know, time in and time out. Back in 17, when they started 5-0, then they lose 6 out of 7. Mm-hmm. They switched to Matt Nagy calling the plays. And you're watching this in practice every day. What do you do? And keep in mind, do the Chiefs always make the right decisions or not? You and I have talked about it before. Spencer Ware got the nod over the NFL's leading rusher, Kareem Hunt,
right,
in training camp. What do you think the temptation would have been like when you lose 6 of 7 not to switch your quarterbacks, especially when you're watching that stuff, because they all talked about it. Tomba, Derek Johnson, right, all of them talked about this kid. Fool Marcus Peters even talked about it, how he just fools us all.
Yeah, it's wild to think that. I think one of the best parts about Chiefs head coach Andy Reid, and you hear players talk about it after the fact, you hear coaches talk about it, is I think – sometimes he can be loyal to a fault. I mean, I think that Bob Sutton, for example, was probably here a year too long. And I'm thinking about Andy Reid, and I'm thinking about how much he loved and appreciated Alex Smith in 2017, and probably said at the beginning of this year, hey, this is your team this year. And at a certain point, you know, we couldn't, or was unwilling to go back on his word, despite what had to probably be some temptation there. Because, yeah, you remember Marcus Peters was someone who I remember talking about it. Derek Johnson, Tom Lee.
So this is the real deal.
Right, about how he would fake off defenders in practice, no-look passes in practice.
I mean, he was toying against a bad defense.
Right, yeah.
So that had to be taken into account, I guess.
But still,
made this defense.
You saw it on
silly.
The field last year, Jay. It's pretty clear pretty quickly he's on another level.
Can you imagine the bad things he did against our defense? Probably illegal in 48 states.
Yeah, that tape maybe was probably banned.
I mean, he probably brutalized him. He probably just brutalized our defense.
It was probably demoralizing and disgusting, or any kind of D word that you want to use for it. It was probably not good. But yeah, no, chill. I imagine it must have been pretty tempting. And to his credit, I mean, every week, especially during that stretch, we would go in there and say, you know, is there any quarterback change in the mind? And you know how Andy Reid operates. You can ask a question once, but if you ask the same damn question again, over, that's when he gets upset. And it got to a certain point where he said, listen, this is not Alex's fault. This is a team problem. And to your point, he ended up changing play calling over, and the Chiefs had a little bit more success toward the end of that season.
It's almost like you wondered that Titans game. You know, if he had Nick Saban's mentality. Nick Saban
just pulled him.
Nick Saban took a quarterback that had lost two games.
Right, yep.
And took him and went the whole year as their quarterback. Tua got in like five games when it was a blowout, which would have changed now because of the four-game rule. He would have pulled him out, so he would have kept his red shirt. But he made a change at halftime. You know, we've seen it done. Like, we can't say we haven't done it. We've seen it done at the highest level in college football. You make that switch. That was one of the bigger gonad moves I've ever seen in football, when Saban goes with Tua. He wanted to win the game.
The problem, I think, that you run into, and not that I think Andy Reid really cares about it too much, but Saban's done it before. He had championships. Like, Andy Reid is still his 21st year looking for that first championship, so
you got to be more willing to do it.
God forbid that doesn't work, though. I can understand why you wouldn't go there.
If he went out there and lit the world on fire?
I mean, you could tell, I think, even early on, and it wasn't so much in Kansas City. I think the Chiefs and Reid have a tendency of being more willing to talk to the national reporters. You know, someone's in Lewis Riddick's ear. And Riddick has known for a long time that the Chiefs have been real high on Patrick Mahomes. So there's no doubt that temptation was real.
And Kareem Hunt, too.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt. But Chiefs and OTAs this week. No Chris Jones.
Right. So here's OTAs. I mean, to set that up for you. No Chris Jones. Chris Jones not there. That'd be a Therese. That's what we all expected, because he hasn't been there since April.
He's 15. Like in Miami, isn't he?
He's in Miami getting ready for the Super Bowl. I'm sure he's making his Super Bowl arrangements.
Is he doing the Breland Speaks workout plan?
Yeah, just making sure he's ready for that air for come January. And so he's not there. Tyreek Hill's not there.
Getting ready. That's Super Bowl's at. That's where Pete's funny Pete guy. He's performing at the Funny Bone this Saturday.
That's it. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is the first week of OTAs. They go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week. That third week, they go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The media gets Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes the next three Thursdays.
I thought the Star put something out, too, like how the Chiefs are doing this. And they did this last year, too.
Yeah, last year was the start of the Chiefs not allowing media for every day of OTAs.
Because Reid was pissed off from the year before when there was somebody at another.
No, it was this.
Peppered him.
It was the thing that I think got this ball moving was, I believe it was Eric Berry, Justin Houston.
Yes, the missing.
And another player that.
Reid was pissed.
And the media kept asking, because fans are wondering. You watch an entire practice where Justin Houston, one of your best defensive players, isn't on the field. You could wonder, okay, where is he? And Reid kept saying, I think I just talked about this, how it's voluntary. And media asked in a number of different ways, and Andy Reid came back and said, listen, I don't have to let you out here for 10 days. I can let you out for practice once a week. And the next year, I'm talking about last year now, it was once a week, and that hasn't changed. You talk to the representatives of the Chiefs from Chiefs PR, they'll say that the Chiefs are just catching up to the league. The Steelers were one of the only other teams that was allowing media for 10 days. But again,
if I was them, I wouldn't do it either.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans would agree with you. I sometimes see fans coming in with takes. Don't let the media out there at all.
The fans want information. They want to know. They want to read Arrowhead Pride. And they want to see
It's one of those things where you can never, I think, please everybody. Like, when we're doing the website, sometimes we'll put, for example, this is the perfect opportunity to talk about something. Like, if we'll put in a Hill article that comes out on Friday, we'll put that in the mix on Arrowhead Pride, and people will be like, well, why are you still talking about that? Then that USA Today article comes out, we put it a little lower in our headlines. Yeah. They say, why isn't it higher? So you're never going to please everybody. I think different people feel different things, and this is just how the Chiefs operate nowadays.
Well, if you haven't gone there, arrowheadpride.com, I recommend it. A lot of good stories from the Chiefs, including one on Chris Jones, and one about an extortion attempt against the Honey Badger in New Orleans.
Scary.
Pete and I will hit that topic. We'll hit Mahomes throwing 100 yards, best GMs. Pete and I have a lot to talk about and discuss tonight regarding the Kansas City Chiefs. Believe it or not, I mean, we're in OTAs now. With the Chiefs, 3 weeks of this, 1 week of minicamp. The Breland Speaks picture came out, and he's a little bigger. Although I will say this.
It's got some...
Photos will add some weight to you at times. Maybe you got a bad photo. I mean, I've got some bad photos. You know, the drive said he looks like me, which I thought was disrespectful. Because I will take that physique of Breland Speaks anytime. He's got an NFL body. I'll take that. I thought they were being a little disrespectful saying he looks like me.
Well, Spags has gone on record and says...
Now they fattened him up for the defensive line.
I don't know if Spags went and called Breland Speaks and said, hey, you need to necessarily gain weight. But I don't know if he minds it as much as everyone.
Oh, he had some fun this offseason. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I wonder if Andy Reid took him out for some BBQ, you know?
Yeah, man. There's plenty of places to go in Kansas City.
One thing I want to know is, here's the thing, and we'll talk about this after the break, but Bill Walsh used to write plays on napkins when he was out to dinner with his wife. Does Andy Reid finally do this with Patrick Mahomes? How much fun is Pat he plays. Having with him at quarterback? We discuss that and can Mahomes throw 100 yards next.
Bing at night. Download the radio.com app to listen to 610 Sports Radio wherever you are.
Welcome back to Bink at Night. Jay Bankley, Kristen Ocero producing the operation. Here, Kristen Ocero live each Saturday with Jillian Carroll on Overtime. Live programming at 610 Sports Radio, starting with the leadoff. Brandon Kiley at 10, out of bounds with Nick Price and Dusty Likens. You heard till 11 o'clock last night. In 5 a.m. yesterday as well, they did a doubleheader.
Chris, is it just a complete party on Saturday night?
With all you cats in here?
It's when we're on, yeah. We just, I think we spent like 15 minutes talking about like how Lamar Odom was able to pass his piss test at the Olympics in 04.
There's something.
It was 15 minutes. Our listeners are degenerates because there were so many people that were texting in with expertise on how to pass these tests. I was really surprised by this.
There's got to be something real illegal about whatever happened there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he talked about, you know, his cocaine and marijuana usage, among other things. And
you got to set up a fake website.
Well, yeah, you got to do what Melky Cabrera did and set up a fake website. But I don't know if you can set up a fake website for cocaine and marijuana. I don't think that's how it works.
Probably not.
Well, from that to best GMs in the NFL.
Yeah, good transition.
This is a great transition here. This is radio right here, Radio 101.
Radio cult.
So we did our best quarterbacks and we did best head coaches. This came out. Brandon Kiley actually found this, the producer of The Drive. And I heard Joe and Vern talking about it, too. It was from Roto-World. They did best GMs in the NFL, and they put Andy Reid / Brett Veach. They didn't give Brett his own line here. They did Andy Reid / and by the way, they gave our guy, Chris Ballard, number 5. They said he's the 5th best GM in football. And Old Doris is what they said about Old Doris. They had Doris number 12, I believe. And what they said about Old Doris was, Dorsey wants to go straight from rebuild to imperial phase, skipping the 9-7 interim. It's the grandest of plans. Something that got Dorsey into trouble in Kansas City is he ran up too much debt on the team's salary cap credit card.
It certainly
looked like he's that could happen again in Cleveland. Dorsey hopes the difference this time is that the price tag comes attached to a Lombardi trophy, the first in Browns history. But back to the Chiefs, Andy Reid and Brett Veach at 8. Andy Reid is reaping the rewards of one of the greatest draft trade-ups in recent memory. Patrick Mahomes in true Andy Reid fashion. He's also making things unnecessarily difficult for himself in the front office, firing defensive coordinator Bob Sutton. Basically, this whole Andy Reid thing comes down to this. And I know people think that Andy Reid is the alpha male around Arrowhead. I would agree to that, although I think Patrick Mahomes is now the alpha male around Arrowhead, as I've said many times. Because I do think if you had a Clark Hunt's office and you had a meeting, and Andy Reid goes in and goes, I can't deal with this Patrick Mahomes. And then 15 minutes later, Mahomes goes in there and goes, I can't deal with Andy Reid. Reid goes, Mahomes stays. I'll just be honest with you. I think that's what happens. But I love the quarterback-coach combination of Reid and Veach. And I mentioned Bill Walsh and how he would draw up plays on napkins out to dinner with his wife. One of the books I read on Bill Walsh, one of the greatest offensive minds in football. I can see Reid doing that. Like, I can see him with the bib, with some riblets, and some, actually, he'd go straight ribs, and some barbecue beans, like, grabbing a napkin, the barbecue stained and everything, and drawing a play out for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Like he's finally got the toy he's always wanted.
No, I said this the other night. I forgot who I was even talking to. But I think even in the history of his quarterbacks, I think he's been waiting for this type of guy since Brett Favre. And you listen to hear him talk. And
like a country song, I waited for you all my life.
Exactly. I mean, he's talked about Alex Smith. He's talked about Donovan McNabb and Michael Vick. And those quarterbacks are above average. You know, probably Alex Smith a little bit more, slightly above average. The other guys, you know, I would say well above average, but no one has been elite, I think, to the point of Patrick Mahomes. And so now he has this quarterback that really has unlocked all his hopes and play calling dreams of, I've been wanting to do this forever.
That's why he's calling the plays. But let's not forget, he called plays in that Denver game at 17, and Matt Nagy stood back and let Andy do it because Andy was going to be doing it the next year.
Right. Well, Jay, I mean, you know football. What is great about Mahomes, and I'm sure that Andy Reid loves this, is even if this play that was definitely going to work, they ran in practice, everything is ready, where it's ready for Sunday. If it breaks down, Mahomes can still throw the pass for 15 to 30 yards.
Yeah, it was Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator of the Ravens, said he'll turn it into a backyard football game.
Exactly. And so not only do you have the quarterback that has the ability to finally, again, make these plays come true, if they don't work, you still might be getting 10 yards anyway.
Well, I liken it to this. Remember when Dante Hall played? He'd catch the ball inside the 10-yard line on a punt return. He'd say, no, 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 yes, 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 yes. That's Mahomes. Like, no. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Like, you got to forget about what you're doing, but I can see this going on with Reed that he's finally got. And I think the pressure is on him a little bit because he's got to change things up. Because people this year will be bringing that New England Patriots-style pressure on Patrick Mahomes. That was the only way to slow him down, what they did the first half against the Chiefs. And he will face that, but he's shown that he can adapt and change as well.
It's just the Mike Tyson thing. I mean, and I think Brady has gone through this. I understand you guys were having a little bit of a friendly argument to begin the show where you're talking about Eli Manning versus
Hall of Famer, right?
Versus,
I don't know if that was friendly, but it happened.
Eli Manning versus
Chris
Tom Brady.
Was getting crushed on the text line.
The Mike Tyson.
It was like two people. I wasn't getting crushed.
I call that crushed.
It's not crushed. It's
not
two
getting
people.
That many.
It's two people who agreed with you on the text line. That's not getting crushed.
My parents and me. I'm texting too.
All right. I didn't mean
so it doesn't count then.
I didn't mean to reopen this. In that game, in the two games especially, I mean, the Giants punched Tom Brady in the mouth. And
they sure did.
And I think if you look at the first half in both of the games of
stop looking at me like that, man.
The
296 yards, 75% completion.
When was the last time we made the playoffs?
The AFC title game and even the regular season game against the Patriots found a way to get to Mahomes, I think, especially in the first half. And then what do you create? I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I think we have found out, and I think about the Broncos game too, he ain't going to be bad for four quarters. It's just, can you get to him in the beginning, and then can he play catch-up on you? And the two times he couldn't.
Well, this whole argument, Andy Reid or Brett Veach. Listen, I'll say this. Andy Reid, I do believe he carries the biggest stick out there. Let's be careful on this, Chris.
we're not talking about Lamar Odom.
But Brett Veach, to me, brings players to Reid. Brett Veach... Andy Reid's talked about it. He wanted Kareem Hunt. Even when Dorsey was here, he was telling Lewis Riddick, watch this kid at the Senior Bowl. He was telling him this. And he was telling Andy to go watch his plays. And Breland Speaks was drafted. I was there that night that they did it. And Andy Reid came out and talked. And he talked about how Brett Veach, I always liken Brett Veach to a little Mississippi Leghound in him, like the Christmas Vacation. Once he gets started, you got to let him finish. Because he seems like that type of guy. Mm-hmm. And I had a one-on-one with Veach that night, that Friday night of the draft, the second night, saying, you're a very persistent guy because Andy Reid's talked about his persistency. Right. When he wants somebody, I believe Andy Reid will define what positions he wants, and it's up to Brett Veach to go find him. Now, I will say this. The Patrick Mahomes selection, no doubt in my mind, was Andy Reid's. When it came down to quarterback, he was the one that picked him. But that SI article, SI.com, that said Brett Veach walked by, thumbs up or thumbs down. But even his agent, Lee Steinberg, told me this.
Brett Veach was texting during the whole night.
He wanted Brett Veach. That's from Lee Steinberg. Brett Veach was texting him all night.
Right. I mean, Brett, I always go back to
Brett Veach really wanted him here.
I don't doubt that. I'm always a believer that this was John Dorsey's trade.
It's Andy Reid.
There's a lot of people.
Reid did it. Just be honest, Pete.
John Dorsey was the GM. He selected him.
Come on, man. Who was hired first, Reid or Dorsey?
At that time, Jay, I think the regime and the organization was Clark Hunt has Andy Reid and he has John Dorsey. They'll still tell you, okay, it's Veach to Hunt and then Reid to Hunt. But you can tell now that they're working a little bit more in unison than Reid and Dorsey was. I go back to that day and I think Veach had a lot to do with it. I think he was the first scout, quote unquote, scout on the quarterback, no doubt.
But who got let go that summer day? Who got the new contract and who got let go? When we had Patrick Mahomes. Reid got a new contract. Dorsey got let go.
again, you talk about alpha male. You can't see a scenario, Jay, where Andy Reid said me or Dorsey. Who do you think Clark Hunt is picking? Ain't Dorsey. And so I
now he's got Mahomes.
Right. I mean, he's already got Mahomes on the control.
He's already got somebody ahead of him.
I understand what you're saying. The GM still has to orchestrate the trade. He did that night. You know, that was in the Paler article that really explained how it happened. It was all three of them. I have never had a problem with the Chiefs saying, you know, this is a player that we drafted. What I don't like, and I haven't liked, and I've made it very clear on a number of occasions, is the Chiefs saying this is a Veach guy. Because it's okay. Say it's a Chiefs guy. Say Reed, Veach, and Dorsey. But everyone played a hand in it. And if Dorsey didn't orchestrate the trade and get him at 10, he wouldn't be here.
Well, some of these picks, like Breland Speaks a year ago, Veach was an SEC scout. He was for Philly, and he was for Kansas City. And there's no doubt in my mind he saw Breland from the very beginning. On hand, firsthand, his eyeballs on him at Ole Miss. And he would talk about it. He said, yes, I watched every play Breland Speaks did in college because Veach made me.
Could you imagine
wanting
to pull
guys.
Your eyes out having to do that?
But Veach will find guys. And he'll make Andy Reid, I do believe he'll tell him what position to go look for. And I have no doubt that he looked at wide receivers. Veach, tell me what receiver to get. Tell me which one to get. Either that or Mahomes did.
I don't doubt it. And I listened to some of these quotes this offseason. I think Veach, and I haven't always felt this way, but I think Veach being the head GM and the head guy now when it comes to player personnel, I think it puts the organization more in unison than it was when Dorsey was here. And that's what you really truly want, I think, when it comes down to it.
No any friction.
I never have liked moving on. I just didn't think it was fair, and I think Dorsey was a big part of what made the Chiefs go from, like, the embarrassment of the league to a playoff team consistently. Sure. And so I've never loved it. But I kind of get, I think, a little bit more now what they were doing. I think what Clark Hunt and Andy Reid really wanted was a group working in unison. It was like when Dorsey went to Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland, he was never going to work in unison with Hugh. I think now he probably feels better about that. Now they have that in Cleveland. So that is now translated in Kansas City.
It's also an analytical team, which he's not analytical whatsoever. But I do find it interesting, that whole dynamic on who it was and who it was. The bottom line is we have our quarterback, and that's
I think that's all anyone cares about when it really comes down to it.
But there's no doubt in my mind that Andy Reid selected Mahomes. That's why he's here.
I think, of course, I think of anything since 2013, right, if it's a major decision, if it's a different type of decision where you're bringing in Tyreek Hill, Clark has to come in. But I think any real, like, football, big personnel decision that doesn't go into that realm, I think it's Andy Reid's final call, right, because he was the one that's still here. Sure. Now, that being said, I think a lot of people played a hand in making sure that number 15 came to Kansas City.
And let's keep this in mind. He was hired before the GM, and usually it's the GM hired before the coach. That's Pete Sweeney, ArrowheadPride.com, editor-in-chief. We come back. Can Mahomes really throw it 100 yards? He says he can. We'll debate that next.
Being at night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.